Hey everybody, Stu Smith here going live. Hope you are doing well today on this Monday morning. So happy Monday. I don't have a whole lot to chat about today. I am working on an article for military.com right now that's about cessation programs within the military. Every branch seems to have their own program that helps members with substance abuse. Primarily, there's two, alcohol and nicotine. However, there are others that sometimes get wrapped up into that, if even though there are rules about drug use and things like that, but there are cessation programs within the military, depending on the circumstances, that may help you, one, deal with the addiction, and two, actually help you stay into the military altogether. So check out some of those if you're having issues. There's a lot of free information out there on the internet. If you typed in Air Force smoking cessation program or Navy's, and they all have different alcohol, you know, they all have different protocols and programs. A lot of them are specific to a particular base versus a branch-wide program, which I think is a really smart way to deal with it, because you do need help with some of the typical addictions. You know, even caffeine. You know, some people misuse caffeine in the military as well, and life in general. I mean, none of these are immune to society, and the military is not immune to them either. But anyway, I'm writing a little article on military.com about that, because there's some great things you get from the military. You know, like, if you choose to serve, which, by the way, do you know only 17% of people who join the military actually retire 20 years later, 20 or more years later? Only 17%, right? So most people who join the military get out before their retirement. And along with that, they gain some skills. They get some college options. They've moved to a different place that maybe they were trying to get away from, with the reason why they joined in the first place. So it can be a life-changing experience for most people. It is what you put into it, for sure. And I highly recommend doing it, especially as a young person. But, you know, I've seen guys in their 30s and early 40s even decide to join the military, and it works for them as well. So it can be a journey, you know, just it's a good way to serve, a good way to get some experiences. But unfortunately, with anything in life, there is an option to have create bad habits as well. And a lot of those begin with caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol. I'm not going to preach today about the misuse of it. It's just, they're usually associated with many chronic illnesses and even death. Unfortunately, there have been young deaths in the military and for decades with high caffeine use and running or fitness tests long before there was a COVID shot. So don't give me that. You know, these are just pure elevated heart rate to a level of heart attack in young people. Now, did they have an underlying issue before? I don't know. But you can Google caffeine-related deaths in the military, or, you know, for younger kids who are overdoing caffeine with, you know, thousands of milligrams, and it's deadly. So look for that one. That one will be out. I'll have it out probably tomorrow, whenever we talk about more swimming related activities and we'll do some critique show tomorrow. But today is just getting you guys on here. Want to take a little bit of time while you guys congregate and send me some questions. I can also refer to some recent questions that I received over email as well while you guys find your questions. One of them, and this is a good question that I get a lot. It has nothing to do with fitness. What do you get somebody who graduates any military training program? Is it boot, from boot camp to CO, EOD, Ranger? What are some cool gifts that a family member or close friend, mentor can give to someone who has accomplished a very unique goal that that person knows he's worked really, or she has worked really hard to achieve? You know, what is a good gift for that? And I've seen a lot of neat ones from, special engravings, usually go really well on whatever gift you do, just to have like a watch that is engraved in, someone's buds class or EOD class, Ranger school, or becoming a soldier or becoming a Marine, maybe with the Marine Corps emblem, located somewhere on something that the person's going to wear and look at, whether that is a ring, it's a watch. Seen knives that are engraved, like a big deal in the Marine Corps is the Marine Corps K-bar. If you can get that engraved and it's sitting up somewhere on your I Love Me wall, like I have there behind me. Those are pretty cool gifts. If you're looking to give a friend a gift, something useful too, a Garmin watch that, tracks all the workouts that they do. That's kind of more fitness related for that person. Might be a good gift. And if you can get the backside engraved, even cooler. But yeah, there's all types of things like that. If you guys have any ideas of gifts that you've received in these journeys, post any graduation, whether it's a college graduation or, Spec Ops graduation, any military branch graduation that you received that you really thought was pretty cool, or you have seen somebody receive, send those, because I'm always looking for ideas, because I get a lot of emails from parents who say, "Hey, Stu, what do I get my son? He just finished EOD class. He just about to finish BUDS and about to finish, SQT and get his Trident. What do I get him?" So just looking for ideas. So you guys have any questions for me? Where is everybody today? I do have some questions that were sent to me. These aren't really good ones to share. Maybe I can find some over here. Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll go to my Instagram, because you guys blow up my DMs with questions. Sometimes I miss them because there's just so many. So probably the best way to get questions to me is by just actually emailing me, stu@stusmith.com. Here's one. I was looking to run another one of your programs. Cardio is definitely my weak point compared to strength. Would you suggest I do summer spring plan? And I've already done the cals and cardio plan, which if you're kind of a beginner looking to build up into this muscle stamina and endurance world, this cals and cardio is a really good build-up program. Actually has a beginner, intermediate, and advanced program in it. But yeah, if you want to take that to another level, The summer program is my peak. Where we are right now is my peak cows and cardio program. We are running a lot of mileage right now. Towards the end of August, early September, we're peaking in our mileage from beginning of the summer throughout the end of summer. And we'll probably continue a little bit into the fall, and then start the fall, you know, a couple weeks late. Instead of like fall starts September 20th or 21st, we may start the fall training program maybe the first week of October. Which, if you're not familiar with that, first, my answer, yes, I would go with the spring summer program if you're working on cardio and calisthenics, muscle stamina type stuff. However, when you're done with that, consider going into a fall cycle, because that's going to help you kind of deload the mileage a little bit and start working on reducing some of the repetitions as well, which you may need after, you know, several months of cows and cardio. You may need a little deload of miles and deload of reps and start adding weight again to your training. Even though you're good at strength, this is not really a strength program. It's just a deload of running and calisthenics, where you'll do a little more non-impact cardio activities, do some load-bearing build-ups like rucking, and you'll start lifting, adding weight, nothing crazy, like body weight level lifting, moderate weight, moderate repetitions, just to help you reduce some of the, you know, joint pain that tends to accompany high repetition and high mileage activities. And these little fall transitions are a really good way to do that. And then you jump into a winter lift cycle where it's a lot more lifting. We warm up and cool down with calisthenics and cardio versus making that be the meat and potatoes of the workout. The lifting's actually the meat and potatoes, and the warm-up cool downs are more calisthenics cardio base. So you're still maintaining your muscle stamina endurance. You're just tapping into some strength training as well. So that's a good question. Looks like we got some people asking questions now. Yeah, I agree. Can't go wrong with a knife. Those are always cool gifts. I think I've been given a couple over the years and have given some away for sure. 15 pounds using the winter lift cycle. Yes, that's awesome. I will say that's typical. Most people gain about 12 to 15 pounds in that winter lift cycle, especially if they needed to gain weight, right? For those that are kind of endurance-based athletes that just needs to put on a little bit of mass, you may find that 10 to 15, 12 on average is a typical weight gain during that cycle. And you still maintain your cardio pretty much. Good job, Julian. Do you feel like you were able to maintain a little bit of the cardio and cows as well, if you followed the plan? Good morning, kicked off my fall cycle. Yeah, starting fall early. You know, I'm a little bit jealous, I will say. I'm ready to start the fall. My knees are starting to feel 30 plus miles a week for sure. But I am losing weight. Yeah, I am getting back into my college year weight area, which has always been my goal, because I figured I quit growing at about 22. So if I can be in that college weight, and that's probably a little bit overweight for my age just because I lifted a lot. So got to take that into account as well. So for me, you know, where I've had some of my biggest weights at like 220, I'm much better at under 200, like 195, 200 is my zone. And I am flirting with that right now, so I'm feeling pretty good. But I, my knees are also feeling it. My goal over this winter is not to gain weight. And the way I do that, if you're like me, kind of like the easy gainer now, where if I just look at food or look at weights, I gain weight. Complete opposite problem when I was 19 years old or 18 years old, when I was considered a hard gainer. I had to eat so much food. I had to lift big, eat big in order to put on weight. It was really hard. But I did. Only problem with that lifestyle is if you learn how to eat like that and you stay in that habit throughout your 30s and 40s, you're going to be 50 to 100 pounds overweight by the time you're 40. So you gotta learn to eat like a easy gainer, as you go through this journey of life, because I am actually on more of a vegetarian diet right now, and I love it. It is great. Now, I do get protein from eggs and fish, and I'm not getting whey protein very much. I use some collagen-based proteins, but that is what I'm doing to lose weight. And, I think just most of my extra calories came from extra meat and chicken, second servings, third servings, like that. And that's a big way to build up some calories. And the only reason I really figured that out is because I wrote everything down that I ate for a week. And you can notice the holes in your diet real quick if you're honest with yourself with that weekly assessment of just what are you eating, right? I gained 2 pounds this week. Why? And you can look and say, oh, that scoop of peanut butter is not helping me. That third serving of steak because of the leftovers on the plates of my kids, not helping me, right? So honest assessments will get you there. And it's for me, I eat good food. It's just portion control is I would say my Achilles heel. But I'm better. I'm getting better at it. Got a little more disciplined on it. So here's, I went down 5 pounds as the mileage increased during the summer. Love the fall winter lift cycle. Yeah, get on it. Is it common to see 25, 26 years old go into spec ops? Yes, very much so. How do they measure up compared to younger guys? I would define this. I would say you're probably going to be at your peak performance in a class at 21, 22 to about 26, 27, right? That block of the 20s is where I see most of the complete studs crushing classes, spec ops level classes. The teenagers are too young to even have developed the type of training or mental toughness. Typically, now there are some beast mode teenagers. I'm not saying that. I'm stereotyping teenagers because they make up a majority of the attrition. And then you have guys over 27 that do okay. They're just not blowing people away. They're getting by mainly because of their reduced ability to recover like a teenager or a younger person in their 20s. So that's how I see people measuring up. But that's a good question. You suggested age bracketing PFTs to assess fitness. Looks fun. But is there any way to convert running tests into walking for OGs with bad knees? Great question. Yeah, I think there is. I think if you can get your walks in that 15-minute mile range, right? So now we're looking at just fast walking, right? I would put, fast walking, but if your knees are bad and it hurts to walk like that, I would consider rowing, like do a 500 meter test for a mile of running, see what that time matches out to be. I would say for biking and elliptical, let's just do a steady 10-minute test and see how far you get. And that would be an equivalent to like a mile running as far as calories are burning, typically. So it depends on how you want to compare all the different options. I would say try to compare it on a work calorie basis versus a, you know, speed and distance basis, because it's all going to be all over the place depending on what mode of activity you're choosing. But that's how I would do it. You know how we do the 500 calorie challenge, like get on your bike and see how quickly you can burn 500 calories. I promise you that feels like a mile sprint when you do that. Because if you can get it in like 7 minutes, I mean, that's a mile worth of running, but it's a lot harder, I think. So that's where I like to go, like do 10 minutes, see how far you can get. And that's your mile, mile and a half comparable. But that's a good question. I'll write about that one. I was forced to take 2-month break from training due to sinus surgery. Oof, those are tough, man. Should I treat myself like a beginner and start from scratch? I would, but, you know, beginner is relative. You know, if you were killing it before you had sinus surgery, you know, your term of beginner is going to be different than somebody else's. You know, some beginners are 80 pounds overweight and it's difficult to walk or run. You know, you may be a light guy who can run, and running a couple of miles isn't going to do any damage to you. It's not out of the question. So, yeah, I would treat yourself like a beginner. My advice would be, you know, go back into something like this, and beginners may be too easy for you, and just jump into the intermediate phase. You know, just for a few weeks, you know, give yourself 2 to 3 weeks of progressing, and then you may feel like, okay, I got all the kinks out, I'm ready to go back to what I used to do. And then from there, especially with running, progress to what you used to do in the course of like 6-8 weeks. Right. So let's say you were running 30 miles a week, and for the last 2 months you ran zero. Don't jump right into 30 miles a week again after this little intermediate warm-up phase. Probably start off with 50% of that, maybe go with 15, and then take the next 6 weeks or so to build up to your 30 miles. That's how I would do it. So you took 2 months off. You should take at least 2 months to build back up to where you were, in my opinion. I'm on week 4 of PST phase 1. Push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups are all above standard. Mile and a half is 820. Damn, that's good. But I'm struggling in the pool. 30 seconds, 50 meter on the CSS. I think that's a typo there, Devin. A 30-second 50 meter is out of control. Like, you don't need my help if you're swimming 50 meters in 30 seconds. I usually try to get everybody to 50 meters in 50 seconds. So maybe you're meaning 25 seconds, which still isn't horrible. That's a 10-minute swim. My advice is send me a video of you swimming 50 meters, that means down and back, or 50 yards, whatever distance is your pool is. Let me know what that distance is, because that does matter. Because a 50-meter pool is 54 yards. So it makes up for a different stroke. It may add 4 seconds, things like that, especially if you're swimming at a yard per second or slower. So yeah, send me a video and I can tell you what you're doing wrong. If your legs are sinking, it's probably two reasons. You're popping your head up to breathe and you have a weak kick. So, and it's a body position issue. So my advice is, you know, mix in some freestyle so you can start learning to move faster in the water with pulling and kicking, little flutter kicks in there, freestyle kicking. And then, you know, the 50-50 is going to save you, period. You know, that's why I put that 50-50 workout in that program so often, is that it is the way to get in shape faster. You know, it looks like you're really good at cardio with your running, so it probably won't take long to get in swimming shape. You know, but if you're only doing a 50 in 1 minute, it's typically a technique issue at first, and then it's a conditioning issue second. But let me know which one it is, because if you're doing 54 seconds or 54 yards, which is 50 meters in 60 seconds, that's not as bad as in a yard pool doing 50 yards in 1 minute. See what I'm saying? So it may not be as bad as you think, depending on the length of your pool. Have you ever noticed your arms and lats squeezing against each other while you do push-ups? Mine do not, because I do not do this, right? I do not do push-ups like this, right? I usually have a 45-degree angle with my torso and my upper arm, right? I don't have a 90-degree angle where you're doing it like this, and I don't have a 0-degree angle, which you're talking about right now. Go right in the middle. Keep your hands just wider than your shoulders. Cant them out a little bit. 45-degree angle. That's going to be the best push-up position for you to do more reps, because you're going to use your shoulders, your chest, your triceps equally in that movement versus all triceps. Because when you're like this, it's all triceps. When you're like this, it's all shoulders. Right? When you're too wide, it's all chest. So hand placement does matter. Is it better to run before or after swimming? Is 6 to 10 miles running a week enough to prepare for buds? No, it is not. You need to do probably triple that and be in the high 20s, low 30s, in my opinion. In fact, I'm going to put an article in here for you. Running plan to get you to and through buds. If you're only at 6 to 10 miles right now, don't do this one in full, because it's too much. This is a 20-mile-a-week program, and it teaches you the multiple ways to run without overrunning. Is it better to run before or after swimming? Well, it depends. My advice is, whatever you suck at doing, do first, because you're going to be better at it, and you need to focus on your weakness with 100% intensity. That's my opinion. Now, eventually, as you start getting better at everything, and you'll want to start putting it in the order of your fitness test. For instance, the Navy PST has swim first, calisthenics second, run last. The Air Force IFT for PJ and CCT and all that, they have calisthenics first, run second, swim last. So they've flipped it upside down. They just basically moved the swim from first to last. So you may want to rearrange accordingly to meet those, meet that order. Once you turn it into less of a weakness. There you go. All right. Where's my questions? You guys got any more? Did I miss any? any exercises you think we should do that translate to better double arm pulls, scissor kicks in the CSS? Double arm pull is really a pull up and a dip. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing muscle ups, but if you were to compare the movement, you know, instead of doing a jumping jack like pull, which a lot of people do, which is only shoulders to pull themselves off the wall out of, you know, after they do the kick and they're in this glide position and they do this like jumping jack type motion, which is very weak compared to an actual pull this way and a push. So think of it more comparatively as a jumping jack compared to a muscle up, right? That is the motion you're going to want to get good at. So you don't need to do muscle ups to get good at pullouts, but a pull up and a dip combination is a good way to do it. So do your pull ups, do your dips. Next thing you know, you've learned how to grab water way out in front of you and pull it with your lats and then push it with your triceps. I guess you could do, a lat pull down machine, you know, get away from it a little bit and kind of bend over and work on pulling and pushing that bar from here all the way to your hips and straightening the arms at the bottom. So that's another way to do it, I guess. But my advice is just get in the pool and practice your breaststroke pullouts and your kicks. Scissor kicks, I would say lunges. Great way to get better at scissor kicks. Great way to get better at scissor kicks is by lunges. And every other day that you do lunges, add in some jumping lunges. So you do a jump, land in the other one. That's going to look a lot like a scissor kick with power creation. Danny says, how many miles should you be swimming? And if I'm prepping for buds, I'm going to assume you mean per week, because that's how most people break that up. It's going to progress over time, but I typically will swim 5, sometimes 6 days a week. If swimming's a weakness, I'd recommend 6 days a week. Now, it doesn't mean you're swimming a whole lot. If you're swimming 5 to 6 days a week, if you do 2,000 a day, that's plenty. So 10,000, maybe 12,000 a week is plenty. And on leg days, you swim with fins, right? And you start building up your legs to swimming with fins. Oh, and another way to build up your scissor kick, put on a fins on your legs and work scissor kicks. That's another way to work your scissor kick. But yeah, that's what I would do. 10,000 to 12,000. And as long as you're doing 4,000 of that a week to 6,000 with fins, that's plenty. That'll get you to and through buds. Because you're going to want your upper body days to be swimming without fins to just kind of make it PST ready. And then on your leg days, get those legs tired, swim with fins either first or after. Learn how to build up some muscle stamina of swimming for an hour with a pair of fins on. Good day, Mr. Smith. My country, the SWAT team running requirements, 3.2 kilometers. That is instead of 6 laps here at 2,400 kilometers, which is our mile and a half, that is an added, 2 more laps? Yeah, 28:32. So you're looking at, that's a basically our 2-mile run, right? Yeah. In boots, trousers, and a rifle. How can I compensate for a rifle as a sieve? My advice is to get yourself about a 10-pound bar and run with that. That might be a little heavy, depending on if you're running with ammo or not. maybe, you know, here's what I would do. Look at the type of rifle you have to run with, Google it, and see how much it weighs. Then grab a bar of that like weight and learn how to run with it. It's not necessarily the pounds that's going to make the difference, really. So even if it's a couple pounds light or a couple pounds heavy, doesn't really matter. What's important is how you run with it, right? Sometimes I like to run with it kind of stuck to my chest, and I find a little hook in there or like something that it can kind of rest on. And you're kind of running like this, but your hands don't move. Another way to do it is sling it and run, you know, run with your arms free, or at least run with one arm free and, you know, move an arm a little bit. So arm swing does help with running like that. So you don't want to take away all your arm swing. Find a way to mix in some arm swings in there, and you'll just feel more natural when you're running. But that's a good test. Yeah, 2 miler in boots, trousers, and a rifle. I like that. And just run with something that, you know, about the same length and weight as a weapon. Otherwise, people going to look at you pretty funny running around with an actual weapon or even a rubber weapon. We've had people around here running with like a bright blue rubberized weapon, right? It looks just like our M4, and they get pulled over by a cop saying, "What are you doing? Run with that weapon. Put the weapon down." I'm like, dude, it's a blue plastic piece of weight. So yeah, I would do something that is not weapon-like, but similar. All right. We got any more questions? I got a few more minutes, and I got to get going. I got this article I got to do a little more research on because I'm trying to find some more statistics on alcohol, tobacco, and nicotine use in the military, as well as where they can go to help themselves learn how to stop using it. I will tell you this. I quit drinking probably about 4 or 5 years ago now. And it wasn't anything that I was doing like to an abuse. Like I would buy a case of beer and it would take me over a month to drink it because I like to cook in the house. So every time I'd cook, I'd drink a beer. Just kind of chill out at the end of the day. I enjoyed it. It was nice. But, you know, I just got to thinking, I was like, you know, this is just extra calories I don't need, you know, especially as I was assessing myself and writing down the extra 200 calories. I was like, you know, I really don't need this. Is it really doing anything for me? No, it's not. So just kind of quit and hadn't had anything to drink. And now it's almost fun. Like I don't miss it, right? But I get almost the same joy out of saying, nah, no thanks, I don't drink anymore, than I do like getting excited to go get a drink. Right? Does that make any sense? Because it's like this dopamine hit that, you know, you get excited for the cake, you get excited for the, you know, whatever you're about to put in your mouth. And you know, you can flip that process around and be just as excited by saying no to those. Right. So that is one of the, what I have found to be, if you're really trying to work on your discipline, which it's easy to work out for an hour, even a couple hours a day. The hard part is like the other 23 hours, 22 hours of the day where you have options to just eat like crap or not. So there you go. Flip that dopamine switch around. I got that idea from Huberman, by the way. Huberman talks a lot about the dopamine hit from the brain and how that works, the, you know, pain pleasure process. So there you go. Listen to Huberman about dopamine. Let's see. A couple more questions and I got to bail. What's the average time frame of a person who's never done CSS to become competent with the techniques? Now, that's the two questions, because I've seen people who are swimmers that don't know the CSS and they learn it in about 5 minutes and are better than I've ever been. Now, I've seen non-swimming athletes who can swim across the pool a couple times, you know, do a swim workout, no problem. Not the prettiest thing. And they learn the CSS in a couple of days and are ready to go. And then I've seen others that are not swimmers at all, not comfortable in the water, and just swimming is a challenge. They have a lot harder time putting together any stroke rhythm, much less the CSS. So it really depends on that person. I have had a person who swam across the pool for the first time in his life, and he was celebrating at the end of that, and it was not pretty. And I didn't even know it. And I asked him, "What are you doing?" Right? And he was like, "I just swam across the pool for the first time." I'm like, "Damn, that's impressive. Good job." And 6 months later, he was crushing the PST. Aced the CSS. I think he broke 9 minutes on that thing. And 6 months later, and, you know, a lot of work, and he is a SEAL today. So overall, that journey took about a year, year and a half. Probably about 9 months before he went to Buds. And then, you know, a year later, he was a SEAL. So there you go. It can happen. That's some of my best work. But wasn't all my work, because he went home for a couple of months. I didn't see him for a couple of months. He took what I taught him, and he came back doing 500s 2 months later. And we just cleaned it up, made it prettier, got him in better shape. Next thing you know, he's crushing it. That's how it works. That's the journey. Depends a lot on you. And how much and how willing you are to work at a weakness. And I get it. You know, weaknesses suck. I hate them. I hate working on them. There's a reason why they're a weakness, because you typically don't like them. You know, I remember growing up, I loved lifting. I loved sprinting, loved tackling people. You know, those were great sports of mine. I enjoyed that. And so football was just a passion, right? Anything else that distracted from that passion was a pain in the neck. You know, running a mile was not something I needed to do. You know, running over 100 meters was long distance to me. Calisthenics, I liked them. I did them a little bit, did some warm-ups with them, but that was it. You know, I didn't do big workouts with calisthenics. So, you know, you take those weaknesses you have and really work on them week after week after week, month after month. Next thing you know, a year later, you're really flirting with no weaknesses, or you found another one along the way. Maybe you got to be a good swimmer, but now you still suck at treading. So you got to practice that. You know, you got to practice your underwater skills, you know, whatever. You know, if you're not assessing, you're only guessing. Right. And if you think you have no weaknesses, you probably haven't assessed enough, because we all have them. So, all right, folks, I do need to go. I will be back tomorrow. We'll show some videos of swimming. Those of you who need help swimming, send me a video. 50 meter swim. Have somebody walk along the side of the pool with you filming it. Otherwise, I can't see it. Don't leave it at one end of the pool and think I can see you swim, because if you can't see yourself swimming, I can't see yourself swimming. So, there you go. Send me something useful. I can help you. Guys, I will see you later. Check out stewsmithfitness.com. Live15 coupon code to save you 15% if you want to use it. Live15. We'll see you later. Have a good one.